This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Nerd Nest podcast. We've got a whole bunch of handheld news to talk about. We've got PlayStation news to talk about. We've got video games that we've been playing. So I figured that we could start off with the, MSI. We talked about the MSI Claw a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago at this point. Yeah. And there's been a lot of back and forth about whether or not it was going to be a 120 hertz VRR display. And now apparently MSI is confirming that it is going to have a VRR screen that will kick in at 48 hertz and go up to 120 hertz, which is, I think it's basically the same thing. Like, I'm assuming this is the same panel that's in the ROG Ally, right, Russ?
That sounds, yeah, the specs sound the same. You know, and it's funny, you know, during my CES like visit, when I asked them about this, I don't know if you guys remember, I said, like, I asked them directly about this and they said, yeah, you know, and it was one of those where I'm like, was this a mistranslation, you know, because native, like they weren't a native English speaker, but there, or were they just like not being able to tell me something, you know? I mean, and so it's pretty funny.
Did you see like the, there's an echo, by the way, small echo, but did you see The Verge like published like right. Two versions of this article?
Yeah,
it was weird,
right? They did one and then like they just kept the same URL and they're like, you know what, we're gonna change this, it now does have it. And that's two different Asus reps who said this, you know what I mean? So it's,
yeah,
even, or not Asus, MSI, I'm sorry, MSI like reps who said this, and it's yeah, that's some internal issues right there.
And you weren't alone too, right, with CES, because it was very much mixed messaging from just me watching all the different previews of the MSI Claw. Some said absolutely no VRR. Others said it doesn't have VRR now, but they are exploring it. And others said it doesn't have VRR now, but it will. So it felt like there were three different responses just based on... So
this thing's coming in hot, right? Like,
yeah, just like, yeah, exactly.
They're just trying to get it to market as quick as possible.
Exactly. So I'm a little concerned about that, but VRR does sound good. So hopefully that sticks.
The fact that there's multiple people telling people different things, and like Russ is there at CES talking to them and they're like, maybe? Like, why would you show up at a big event like that and not have that kind of information ready for your big announcement? Like, that's so weird to me, and it gives me a whole lot of pause for this particular device.
Yeah, I feel like they are definitely trying to rush it out, the release, as soon as they can, probably because the chip itself, like, I don't know, like they want to be first to market with it or something, you know? And so I think there's probably some sort of rush in that regard. Maybe Intel's giving them some pressure. I don't really know, but they definitely feels like it is, like Jimmy said, is coming in hot.
Yeah, real hot. The Lenovo Legion Go had a similar deal, right, with the portrait display. So like at all the previews, it was definitely a portrait display, but in the Lenovo forums, they were, the one of the reps or one of the engineers kept saying, yes, it was portrait, but the final product will be landscape, and never happened.
I really hate that, like, this is pre-release, so we can't.
Yes.
It's like, how many times has pre-release really changed all that far or deviated from what actually occurred? So you always have to, like, you're forced to, like, this is still pre-release, so whatever. And thankfully, when I bought mine retail, and when I got it, I posted it. I was like, womp womp, it's Portrait. And people were like showing me forum posts, like, no, that's pre-release. And I was like, no, I bought this from Best Buy.
Right. I mean, I have a Legion Go that is, I have the pre-release unit that they sent me. And I also have the retail unit. I couldn't, it, like, if you put them down side by side, I have stickers on them right now, so I would be able to tell. But if they didn't have the stickers on them, I could not tell you the difference between the two.
You know, the Lenovo Legion Go, despite the software feeling very hot, I have to say the whole Joy-Con implementation, I was really impressed with. Like, on day one, I was still really happy with what they had. Because it operated how you would assume that it was going to operate. When you detach them, they would work like how the Nintendo Switch does.
Yeah.
And they reasonably did. I never really had a problem with them ever. And I tried doing it multiple times. So I have to give them kudos for that at the very least. And I know I still see software updates and stuff to it.
Yeah, so I just got one. Like, I think it unlocked like the FSR3 type thing or something like that. Yeah, I saw it. Because I just bought one. Yeah. And yeah, I'm also very impressed with it, but I've got all the updates that they put out since, you know, when it launched, and it's really finicky when you go to update it, because the newest update in December, I guess, unlocked the ability to like update it through its own app, like the Legion Space. But before, you had to like go to the website. So I had to do a few updates in a row to get to that point. Mm-hmm. And they took forever. But once I got it up and running, I'm really impressed with it. I've been liking it a lot.
How do you feel about comfort-wise?
I like it because I have bigger hands. I still prefer the Steam Deck OLED because that just fits perfectly. But between the Legion Go and the ROG Ally, the ROG Ally feels sharp. It, like, digs into my palms a little bit. So I never really wanted to play on it for more than, like, 2 or 3 hours at a time at most. But the Legion Go, when you kind of get that hand cramp feeling after a few hours, you can just, like, put out the kickstand, throw it down, and then start playing with the Joy-Cons detached. And I think
that's true.
Really cool. They've kind of been my favorite of the Windows handhelds I've tried by like a pretty wide margin.
That's my favorite as well. I know, Russ, you prefer the ROG Ally to the Legion Go. As far as like the sharpness, I know that we probably talked about this a couple of weeks ago when you got hands-on with the Claw. How did the, like, Jimmy's talking about the sharpness of the ROG Ally, which is definitely an issue, but it's not a big issue, and it's still pretty comfortable. Right. But did you feel like the Claw was better or worse? I can't remember.
The Claw is more rounded in those parts where the Ally is sharp, and so it does. For Jimmy's use case, I think it'll feel fine, like, better. For me, I don't mind the kind of sharp edges on the Ally, just because I don't know. It's not. Hold on, right? Out of focus. Let's get out of focus. There we go. So. I don't really mind the ROG Ally, the sharp edges to it, because I think it still kind of fits my hands, you know, at least the way I hold it. I don't like the sharpness of the Legion Go. Like, I found that one,
funny.
Like, it's flat at the top of it, and then it kind of just cuts off at a 90-degree angle. And so that part is like rough on the edges for me. And so there's nothing perfect with any of these handhelds, but I do think the MSI Claw, one of its benefits will be that it is a fairly ergonomic and rounded controller altogether.
Hence the Claw.
It looks more rounded in the picture, like, you can tell, like, it's got that sloped down edge, and that's kind of, I think my hand just got used to the way the Steam Deck is, honestly, like, with my the, like, meat of my thumb kind of just rests in that, like, slope, and it feels very comfortable.
I want to go back to the engineering sample thing. I want to do a little behind the scenes, because I talk about this in my review. Not review, I'm not calling it a review, which is what I want to talk about, the One X Player X1. So that is this guy?
A worse name than the Claw?
A
One
worse
X
name.
Player X1?
One
it doesn't
X
say Pro.
It's no, like it the doesn't Xbox say Pro. Series X1X or something.
Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good. So this also has the Intel chipset. The version they sent me, and I'll hold it up one more time, even though it's faded out now, but it says prototype on there. But the version they sent me is the 135H, so the same as the $699 Claw. But on the Indiegogo, they're not selling a 135H version of the X1. They're selling a 125H and a 155H.
Oh, interesting.
And also, this is supposed to be the 3-in-1, right? So you can use this as a tablet with the kickstand. You can use it as a laptop with the kickstand and the keyboard. And you can use it as a handheld with like these slots for controllers, just like the Legion Go.
Okay.
But they didn't send me the controllers either.
Oh, what?
So, yeah. So with the controllers, they said, I'm going to read actually for the controllers and the chipset. This is what they said. They said, thanks for the update. I was informed that the controllers need to be sent after Spring Festival. That's their holiday that they're on now. Because during tests, there has been a slight bit of looseness between the controllers and the X1. So I do appreciate that them disclosing that, but mm-hmm. I'll get to it. The second half says, we understand you and your audience are concerned about reviewing early hardware. We want to assure you that our engineering team, that according to our engineering team, the final production units equipped with 125H and 155H will closely represent the performance of the model you received, 135H. Now, if they were to closely resemble it, why would you? I would just buy the 125H. I would buy the cheaper one because it closely resembles. So right. I don't.
That's bizarre.
I don't accept that language. It is very bizarre. And so I don't feel comfortable calling my video a review. And it just goes back to like what Kerry was saying about engineering samples. I feel like all of the companies kind of use this pre-release period, pre-embargo period to push their marketing points. And I'm starting to kind of push back, right? Like, I'm not going to call it a review if you're not giving me the final product and things like that. So it's just, like Jimmy said, it's bizarre.
The final product, but they're also giving you a product that
that's
effectively does not exist.
Yeah.
Right? Because you cannot get that chipset.
No, yeah, so it's like you have the 135, so you're directly in between GPU core counts of the 125 and 155. So you'd be like, mm-hmm. this is like between them. So what right. does that help anyone? So like, you see these benchmarks? Just imagine them going like this, and you get an idea of where that is. Like,
yep.
Just, you can kind of tell by looking at it why the controllers are loose. It's like, that's a crazy setup they've got going on there. I could imagine some reality, I guess, where that would be comfortable, but like, I don't know. You got to look this up if you're watching or listening, because it's like the screen and then the controller looks like too small for it. I almost need like how the Portal set up with like the bridge across the back or something.
It's very PS Portal like.
Jim, so can you share? Bridge
would help a lot.
Can you share that tab? I don't have the tab. Can you share that tab?
I had a YouTube video on my phone. I can't find pictures of it. I can only find like their trailer.
Which is called again? Because I want to put it up there for the YouTube viewers.
One X Player X1, the world's first large screen 3-in-1 handheld.
Yep.
Okay.
There's an Indiegogo. I don't know if there are images up there. It looks like there are. Yeah.
It looks comical. It looks more comical than the PS Portal does.
Yeah,
it's
so round.
It's like you don't know how any of this passed through.
Right.
Like I'm just looking
at
the picture.
That's not it. That's the
old one.
That looks like an improvement.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the old one. That's how you would imagine it to be.
I'll share.
I will mention while you're pulling that up. So I got a similar email from them saying, "Hey, we've got this pre-release one, but it's got issues when it comes to." Okay, turn the volume down. There we go. So it says,
yeah, the volume.
Can you mute that?
Through.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Thanks.
So I did get an email and he said, "Hey, we've got the pre-release one, but it's got all these problems. We can't send you the controllers, that kind of stuff." And I just said, "No, I'll wait." You know, like there's always this like feeling of, you know, with us YouTubers in particular, like we want to get it early so we can show it off, you know, get that extra mm-hmm. click or whatever. But there's a bridge there, and I think that they're expecting us to be their hype men. That's what they're trying to get us as opposed to a reviewer.
Yeah.
And so I told him, I said, I will wait until you have something that's not wobbly and it's more closer to what an actual retail person would get. And so that's what I told him. They said, fine. And so they didn't send me anything. And so, I just don't think it's ready yet. And so I appreciate Rich, you went taking one for the team. That's awesome.
Yeah. I wish they had told me in advance that the controllers are wobbly. I literally like was looking in the box, cause it wasn't like a normal box because it's a prototype. Mm. So I was looking in the box for the controllers. They weren't there. And I'm like, hey, did you guys make a mistake? Especially because I saw ETA Prime had the controllers. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I have some OneNet stories that are along those same lines. They're like, oh, hey, how's it going? We're gonna send you this stuff. I'm like, cool. What are you going to do? And they go, who are you? And I go, you emailed me.
I've had that same thing happen before.
What the hell are you talking about?
So many different people at some of these companies that are all on one chain with you. It's like they're all logging into the same email or something, and then you'll see it change in the middle of a chain, and then the like cadence won't break. And I'm like, that's kind of impressive, honestly, yeah. that you can keep this conversation going like yeah. that.
I will say, and this is not related to hardware or whatever, but I cannot stand whatever email that they're using. How when I'm replying to these companies, it quotes everything and moves it over a little, and then quotes everything and moves it over a little. And then after I've been on a conversation with somebody for 50 emails or something, it's just an unreadable mess.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. Maybe it's Gmail's fault, but it's just impossible to like, I always have to say, can we start a new thread? Because I can't deal with this anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that thing looks terrible. With yeah. the tiny little controllers, I mean, I get what they're going for. They want to give you that bigger screen.
I'll say this. Yeah. It's very much like the Surface Pro, right? So if you've ever used a Surface Pro, this is aside mm-hmm. from the controllers, right? Just as a laptop, it's pretty much the exact same as a Surface Pro in form factor. Not they're like the Surface Pro would overheat in a particular place, and this doesn't have that problem. But just in terms of form factor, it's that. Now, if you want to, you know, have a laptop that you can transform into a really weird handheld, then there's a chance that it works well. Again, I don't have the controller, so I can't say. But I am curious, right? Like, I hope it does work well. I hope they can fix that looseness, because I would like to be able to do that. But, yeah, I can't say.
Well, speaking of the looseness, you know, you talk about the Legion Go. Mm-hmm. That thing, like, it's... It like the Switch, you slide through a thing and it snaps in, right? Mm-hmm. When you use the Legion Go, you just push a button and they just basically just detach, right? So it felt really, it didn't, I was worried that it would feel like wobbly, but when you snap them in, wow, does it hold on really well.
Yeah.
I think the mm-hmm. Legion yeah. Go, like their way that that the Joy-Cons attach to the side of the
True
tablet.
True strike controls.
Yeah. True strike. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to call them Joy-Cons people. it feels really solid, at least for mine. Everybody else feels solid?
I think it's like one of those things where you're like, you really want to hope that someone that actually is going to be using this day in and day out will give us all a report like a year later. Like a year for later, sure. I've been using these things like, you know, gangbusters, and they're still, you know, whatever. But like mm-hmm. on the Switch, mine started to wobble after like a few months. So it's not like it's drastic, like it just has like a little play in it. Mm-hmm. But so far, I mean, I for the week or so that I used mine, I never had any type of wobble on mine, which was impressive. The entire part of the hardware package that Lenovo did for the Legion Go, I was really impressed with it. I just wish that they went with a landscape-based screen.
Outside of the landscape-based screen, because of the fact that they nailed the hardware so well, like I didn't mind. I gave them a lot of like leeway with the software. Like it was obviously.
Yeah.
Right. But like just you can fix that. If you're dedicated, you can fix that. But they nailed the hardware, and that was difficult to do with the hardware that they had in mind.
Exactly. Like if you are a person that likes the Joy-Con type of thing and wants that functionality to instantly switch, their Legion Go is like the only thing that you're going to tell anyone to get. You're like, oh, you want that? Get the Legion Go. There's like, it's such an easy thing to like, that's for you. I don't have to say anything else. There's nothing else I have to talk about. You want the Legion Go. I want to start using it. I'm going to start going to the gym. I'm going to try to use it so that I can just use the Joy-Cons while I'm walking and just put the tablet part in the thing and just play a game like that. I want to give that a go. I used to do that with the Switch, but I always had a small screen, and the Legion Go is appreciably larger.
Yeah, you could say that again. That's the thing I like the most about it is how huge that screen is. It makes the issues with Windows not as big of an issue, but they're still issues. As soon as Valve ships SteamOS, I'm nuking that thing from orbit and throwing SteamOS on there, and I'll never look back, because I just don't play the games that are on Windows that everybody seems to care about. And if it's a Game Pass game, I'll just play it on my Xbox. All right. Well, speaking of games, let's before we hit the rest of the news, like the next PlayStation handheld or in the State of Play and all the other stuff that we've got to talk about today, I thought we would take a second and talk about the games that we've been playing. Jimmy, I'm going to have you start us off. You've been playing a couple games. Can you pick one?
Yes. I put about 10 hours so far into Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, which is a terrible title and it's really hard to Google. I kind of like it. I know everyone is hating on it pretty big time right now. I'm like of two minds on it, really. We're like taking it as is. It's a very fun game. Like the actual combat is probably one of my favorite third person like shooter style combat games I've played in a long time. But then the other half of my brain is like, this took 9 years and like this is what they were making for that long. Like if this came out a lot quicker and it was like a interstitial game between the next single player thing or whatever, I think it'd probably be received a lot better. But knowing that they took so long after Arkham Knight and just some of the story things they're undoing from the ending of Arkham Knight, I can totally understand where the hate is coming from. But I spent all Friday night playing it with two of my friends, and we had a bot that when you have bots in this game, it'll pull like players from your friends list. So if someone has a character who's leveled up, it'll just add them in as your bot with their full loadout and everything, and they'll actually like collect XP and like loot. And then when your friend logs back on, they'll get the progress that their bot made in your game, which is really cool. So we had essentially like a 4-player squad, and it's really fun when you get in the groove of it. And the story, while the actual like plot thread is nothing crazy, it's incredibly well directed, and it has probably the best face animations I've ever seen in a game. Like,
wow.
Really impressive stuff. On PC, it runs decently. Like, you have to use its version that it wants to use. Instead of DLSS, you should use TAA because DLSS introduces stuttering. But if you just stick with the defaults it picks, it actually runs significantly better for me on PC than PS5. You get way less stuttering on PC once you have it all configured right, and you can run at higher settings and hold the 60 FPS like a lot smoother than you can on PS5. The loot system is really good. It's just like every other looter where it doesn't explain some of the deeper stuff in it. So once I discovered that, like there's a whole system where some guns can like have their own set like level limit where you can level the gun up and then pick what stats you want to invest in. And it actually like noticeably changes the gun. So you can take guns from the beginning of the game, basically to the end, if you get the right loot pool at the beginning of the game. So me, someone who plays a lot of looter shooters, there is a lot here that I really like. It's just the variety is the thing that just kills this game. There is zero variety. You just either do a payload or escort a bus, and that's it. Through the entire game, that's every mission, every side mission, every story mission, that's all you're doing. And then I looked at the end game, and it seems like they went with the Outriders sort of end game, where there's going to be 3 different incursions you can do every week, and then they'll swap out every week. But it's running the same thing over and over again is not fun. What I will say is it's in a lot better of a spot than the vast majority of other looters, especially Avengers, in the sense that it's not broken in pretty much any way. Like, everything works as it's intended to, and like the end game is there and functional. It's just, I want to see if this game continues to get better, and I'm worried about it now because apparently it's not selling very well. So I'm wondering how far they'll actually take it, but
yeah,
like my opinion on it so far is like I'd give it a solid like 7.5 solo, and then it's like hovering on an 8 with friends. Like, it's just a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, I was gonna, as you were talking about like it being bare, I was thinking that normally like that's the sort of thing that would grow over time, but with this game, yeah, it's not sold very well, so I don't see that happening. And you know, I also see people waiting for it to go on sale, right? Like $70 for what you said, I know has scared a lot of people off, and they're like, maybe I'd like it, but not at $70.
It's not good enough to buy to just play through as a single player like Arkham story game. So I get why people are waiting. And it seems like yet another live service game where the first season launch is really going to determine whether or not it catches on. And from the like roadmap image that they shared, which I want to give them props for sharing so much information about what's coming in season one. From what they've shared, it seems like it's just going to be more of what's already in the game. And I'm like, that's not what they need, right? Like, I don't need a fifth playable character with their weird ass version of Joker, but what I need is more variety. And it looks like they're just adding more of what's already in it, which is not a good sign.
Having not played the game myself, I feel like a lot of the hate that this game is getting is completely dissociated with the gameplay itself, and it's all centered around the fact that this is a live service game, and Rocksteady is known for making these single player Batman games, the Arkham games, and people wanted that, but the company decided to make B, and without giving it a chance, everybody was just like, well, B sucks, and I'm not interested in that, so it's terrible. Again, I haven't played it, so maybe it does suck. But then there's also the controversy about people that are mad about Batman and everything, and I won't get into it in this because of its, you know, spoilers for the game, but I feel like there's a whole...
crazy how
people are so crazy.
Happy people were to spoil this game. Like, people are the biggest whiners about spoilers on literally everything, but I saw every character death in this game before it was, like, even out of early access, and it's just bizarre. Even with context, though, I think it improves a lot of the, you know, Justice League deaths. It's in the title of the game, but...
Wait.
Yeah, it...
That's going to happen in this game?
Yeah, are the Justice League's going to die and kill the Justice League? Like, oh my God.
Wow.
I don't know. It's weird because, like, as far as the live service games goes, I played a lot of them. Like, I played both Division games. I played Avengers. I got to the end game in Avengers. I played Outriders to the end game. Out of all of those, this one feels like the least, like, janky at launch. Like, it feels like they actually took that time that they got with the delay and cleaned up all the technicals and made sure everything will look and run right and have every all the loot actually works right. The drops are good. Like, it's spread out nicely. Like, as far as a live service game goes, I think they kind of nailed the launch, except for when it had to be taken down in early access for a few hours. But, like, what live service game hasn't had to do that? I'm not really holding that too much against them. And comparing this to Avengers, this is, like, night and day a better game. It plays better. It looks better. It runs better. The missions don't fall apart and break. The AI works. They'll revive you. It's just like, I don't even think it's fair to compare this game at launch to Avengers. But yeah, I think you are onto something there, where every video I've seen does not actually get into the live service nature of the game, like what how it actually works. And they're more focused on saying, well, I wanted another Arkham game, and this isn't another Arkham game. They shouldn't have said it in the Arkham universe. And that's fair, but, like, me taking it for what it is, I'm enjoying it. I think I'll get to the end game and then put it down and then try out season one and then determine if I'll stick with it. But right now I'm just, like, happily making my way through it with my friends. Solo is, like, a little bit of a different story, but, like, with friends, it's awesome.
Rich, did you pick this up?
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds Gummy Clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
No.
What about you, Ross?
No, you're good. As soon as I heard season one, I'm like, no, that's too much game for me.
I can't wait to find out, you know, in a couple of months if you're still playing this game or not. But
I'd say it's like 50-50 shot right now. It really depends on what they add in that season one.
It's got to be defeating, right? Because, like, the team of, like, six made Pal World in, like, 2 weekends and just, like, just launched it. Just like, yeah, we just cobbled together this UE5 game. Maybe some people will play it. It's like takes off like gangbusters. And this game Rocksteady's been working on for 9 years and people just crapping on it. It's just like you just look at the two people just like
if you compare it to Gotham Knights sales, that game I don't ever call games bad, but that game is very, very bad. And it's still bad. And that was like quietly one of the best selling games for the year it came out. And then after, like, people just loved buying Gotham Knights. And knowing how much better this is, I'm like, I wish people showed up for this instead, because this is the one that I'd actually see myself playing. Because I like Suicide Squad. I like that they're violent and there's gore and swearing and stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's cool.
It makes me think of Anthem, you know? So, like, yeah. I think of that, you know? And it just kind of died on the vine just right there in the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should stop making these studios transition to live service, because it always ends up bad when these, like, storied developers... like make these live service games. They get gutted during development, and then when the game doesn't take off, they get gutted again through all the new people that they brought on. And then we have the husk of BioWare making Dragon Age 4 right now. It's just like,
that's it.
It's a bummer.
So yeah. I saw this article the other day. It's not in the show notes, so you guys can't see it, but it says that at GDC, I guess they had like this survey, and 65% of that answered this survey, 65% of studios are presently working on one or more live service game. 65%.
It's too much.
That article turned out to be like weird, right? Like, they defined live service as we'll update the game after it's released or something like that.
Oh, so like Cyberpunk.
Right, like any, like basically any game. And I think that it's possible that we're looking at different articles, because the one I saw was like 95%. So maybe
this is gamedeveloper.com.
Okay, I'll take a look. But yeah, there was one that was like 95%. Defining it as literally just any game that gets an update, basically.
Yeah, well, it says 66% of developers confessed that such games are necessary for long-term success.
It's so negative. Like, they confess that they're working.
Do you confess? Not enough
time. Like, under duress.
I don't understand why developers don't get that, like, when you make a game a full-time job, like, people have to pick one, and then you're dividing and dividing and dividing, and it's just like... There can only be a big enough audience for probably like what, two or three of these games at most. Like, when you have Diablo 4 bombing as hard as it did after launch, like, that should worry pretty much every developer working on a live service game right now. Like, if Diablo can't do it and Destiny is having these massive problems, like, you're probably not going to have a great shot either.
Yeah.
And Diablo was actually really fun. I enjoyed my time playing with it.
I put like 80 hours into it.
Yeah. I like Diablo 4 as well.
Yeah, it was a really good game, but you're right. It's like, it was very flash in the pan. Mm-hmm. And it almost feels like there was a time when this kind of game could succeed. And I almost feel like that time is gone. There's just too much that's going to pull our attention away from it.
Yeah. You know, we've probably had this conversation many times, but like, the younger generation doesn't play the games that we know about. Like, if I talk to my kid about Diablo, he's like, oh, all right. But he has none of the baggage of, like, you know, all the stuff that I played with when I was young and growing up, and seeing the success of those games and seeing how much they got better. And, you know, between Roblox and Fortnite and other Battle Royale games just absorbing everyone's time that are free to play, it's really tough. I can't imagine making a live service game is a wise move, but I know that they see the numbers and they're like, oh, those numbers are better than those other numbers, so we need to go for those numbers. And it's a shame. Right.
Go ahead, Rich.
I was gonna say, it's an expected value thing, right? Like, Epic, just going back to taking it to stores, right? Like, Epic Game Store is unlikely to succeed, right? But you take whatever that probability is, 0.00001, and you multiply it by 30% of every single game that's sold on PC, like Valve has, and all of a sudden the upside is just too good to ignore, that you have to try everything you can to make it succeed.
I feel like these live service games, many of them fall into the trap. Like, my son and I were talking about this, because he actually asked me, before we started recording, he said, why does everybody hate the Kill the Justice League? And I said, well, I know that I'm going to be talking to somebody about that, and I'll find out for you. because he hasn't played it either. But he was like, well, you know, it's going to have a it has a battle pass, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, it will.
It's got battle pass and microtransactions. Then why is it $70?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Like, they would make so much more money if it was just a free game and then make people pay to play dress up.
With now they're charging $70 and letting you do that. And Diablo is really egregious with its cash shop too. Yeah. Like, you can spend up to like $50 on armor that only works on one class or whatever. Halo's pretty bad too. Like, Halo's gotten ridiculous in the past couple of seasons. Like, they just added in Halo Wars armor or whatever, and the cost that they charge for some of this stuff is wild. It's like the cost of a new game.
Yeah, and the Halo, like, the cosmetics in Halo are freaking terrible. Like, they don't look cool. They don't look fun. And when I put one of them on, I can't see it.
It's first person. Yeah. Bad horse armor.
Yeah. Bad horse armor.
Bad horse. Bad, like, oh, that. My God. Now, everybody who loves... boy, Russ, you are very blurry.
I know, it's
everybody who loves the Bad Horse song. You guys know exactly what song I'm talking about. Everybody else is like, the Bad Horse song. Look up Dr. Horrible, people. All right, Rich, what have you been playing, man?
I've not been playing anything. I've been doing a ton of reviews, like hardware reviews. So I've been unable to really get into anything. Just real quick, I'll plug Bloodhounds on Netflix. I don't know if it's new to Netflix or what, but it's like it's kind of like a K-drama, but it's like action. So there's a lot of like fighting and fight scenes. And surprisingly, the dub is actually really good. I had to use the dub because I'm like washing dishes and stuff like that, so I can't like read while I'm watching. Anyway, yeah, like boxing and crime fighting and stuff like that. It was actually pretty fun.
You've been playing anything, Carrie?
Yeah, I played the only thing I played this week was Brotato. It came to Game Pass. So it's like a game like Vampire Survivors, but slightly different. I prefer Vampire Survivors by a long shot, but I still was enjoying it, and it's like it was I don't know what the dopamine hit of how they were doing it, because they were like nickel and diming me on achievements. And some of the achievements I was getting were like literally one gamer score point. And I was like, wow. Oh, all right. Like, let me do that. I got to like beat difficulty level 4, and then you have to beat it with a bunch of different characters that you can unlock as you play through. And it's just fun. It's just, you know, what kind of luck can you have with what type of weapons that you can do, either ranged or elemental or whatever. And, it's just a game. It's literally just math that you see on a screen. And those like grip my brain. So I played about like 6 hours of that or so. And I finished Power World. I stopped playing like last week. I got up to like level 40 in Power World. But I stopped just because, I don't know, just there needs to be way more in that game. As it is, it needs to be really patched up. So I'm just going to walk away from it for a while.
I tried playing it again. It's still, I mean, I didn't pay for it. I didn't buy it. I was playing it on my Xbox. It's just a stuttery mess. It's so stuttery. I just can't, it's really bad performance wise. So I just shut it back. Actually, I ended up deleting it. Russ, what have you been playing?
I just reviewed a PC today, and this was kind of a beefy PC. And so one of the things I was testing with it is PC VR, because I got the Oculus Quest or the Meta Quest 3 over Christmas time. And so I've been playing Half-Life Alyx.
Nice.
And it is cool. Amazing. I bought that game years ago. Like, it was an investment I made in my Steam library, where I was like, I'm going to get PC VR someday, and so I'm going to play this game, you know. And I watched a little bit of YouTube on it. I was like, I don't want to spoil myself. So it's funny, when I started playing it, two things happen. Number one is I've never really played any real VR game. You know, I've done like tech demos and stuff. It is so immersive for me. My little monkey brain gets convinced that it's real. When I see a bad guy, I'm like, that is an actual bad human being right there. You know, like, it's in the room with me, you know. It freaks my brain out. It's crazy. I could never play like a Resident Evil game. Just seeing one of the guards in Half-Life Alyx freaks me out. Fighting them.
On PSVR 2, Village is still my favorite game. It is terrifying. I love horror. I don't really get scared of anything, but like, man, when you're in like real first person, I guess, like crawling through broken rubble and it's just candlelight, and then there's just like this guy screaming who's a werewolf at the end of a hallway. It's like, I don't want to go down there. I don't want to fight him. They take the like six shots.
The first thought I thought when you were saying that is like, I would have a fear of peeing my pants. Like that's how like my brain gets convinced of that stuff. So that was the first idea I had. And the second was that I found that I didn't want to play it that long, and it was because I was worried it was going to end. So I was like, I got to take this one tiny bite at a time. And so I'm like playing it at 10 minutes. I'm like, that's enough. You know, I want to savor these moments, you know. But then I looked and there's like 12 episodes in that game. Like it's a really long game for a VR game. And so I'm just going to start cramming through it. I think I'm going to really enjoy that. So that's what I've been playing. But another thing I kind of wanted to bring up was, you know, Last of Us 2 Remastered came out like a couple weeks ago. We didn't really talk about it, but all the like hype and everything that I saw on Twitter and whatnot were people complaining that it was full price for a remastered game and it's been too soon and all this kind of stuff. I never saw anybody say that it's only $10 to upgrade from the PS4 version.
It's cheap.
And so I saw that and I was like, $10? And so I just bought it this morning because I was like, immediate. Like, it was $10, right. Played through that game because I played, you know, during the pandemic basically, and it was just an amazing experience. And so to play that in PS5 kind of mode would be even better. So That's what's on the docket for me, at least.
That's the second one, right?
That's what's part two, yeah.
Okay. I haven't played either of those. Every time we're talking about games, a buddy of mine at work is always like, dude, have you played The Last of Us yet? And I'm like, no, I haven't yet.
You gotta do it.
I know. Everybody tells me that I gotta do it. And I just, but I just installed it because the first one remastered is on PS4. Plus whatever tier, I think. So I just installed it the other day. I just haven't played it yet, but I love the show. Now part of me is like, I don't want to play it because I just want to watch the show because I just like the show so much.
Much better.
They
skip over a lot in the show, and there's more of the actual like zombies in the game than the show.
I played
first game is season one, so you're not going to get any spoilers or anything.
I played the first one on the hardest difficulty, and it was like the worst decision I could have possibly made. Not because it was difficult, but it was not fun. Like they gave me, I get it. They don't give me a lot of ammo, and I have to do like as best as I possibly can. But like I was literally out of ammo, and they put me into a room that is closed and I can't do anything. I can't run away because sometimes running away is a viable option. Like making a distraction in like grounded mode, like somewhere far off. And then you're like pushing against the door and it's making a bunch of noise. Like that's a viable strategy. You don't have to kill everything, but then sometimes you're in a situation where you run out of ammo. So they know you can't do anything because you have to kill the baddie. So you're running in circles and then bloop, just ammo just appears out of nowhere. And you're like, well, this is stupid, guys. Like, who, like, come on. Like, think of something else that I could do using the environment to take this guy out that I don't need ammunition. Like, if you're going to do all this, I don't know. I was, like, really disappointed with, like, people were always telling me it was, like, so amazing. Then I played Last of Us 2, and I enjoyed half of the game, and then the second half of the game comes, and it's like, I don't really want to do all this over again. So I just stopped doing stealth. And I just started running and gunning. And it's like, it was just the same. I'm so much more of a fan of Uncharted for Naughty Dog than I am for The Last of Us. The Uncharted series I absolutely love by Naughty Dog by a long shot over The Last of Us. Last of Us is good. It's just that it's too long. The game could have been way shorter. Tighten that thing up and it would have been much better.
Everybody I talk to says it's a really short game.
It's like 20 hours, 22 hours.
The thing is that it's like an intense game, and so it's exhausting to play that game. Like I can only do a room at a time. I never finished Last of Us Part 1. It was just too much for me. I ended up watching someone else finish it on YouTube because I wanted to see what happened, but I was just done. Like it was just too much, and it was too difficult for me too. I mentioned before, but I don't like upgrading my weapons or trying out new weapons. I just want a one good solid weapon, good bow and arrow or whatever, and just let me use that.
I love
the bow
and arrow.
And so
once I got the bow and arrow in Last of Us 2, I was like this. Like that was like opened up the game a bunch for me because it was like it followed the whole stealth and survival stuff, but I don't know. Yeah. It was just, I don't know. It has
the best weapon. Countering what you're saying about weapon upgrades, it has the best animations for weapon upgrades ever. They're not accurate at all. Like when Joel's like doing the like corkscrew rifling and stuff. He like wipes right. it with a rag, but just like the gun porn in that game is crazy when you're upgrading yeah. weapons.
And then, so the thing I was going to say,
I'm sorry,
I was going to just mention the amazing part about Last of Us Part Two that I wanted to just kind of focus on, and then I'll be done, is just that the accessibility options in that game make the game so much more enjoyable.
You can get because the slowdown mode when you're tailor aiming.
It. Yeah, exactly. Slowdown mode. You can make it infinitely long. You can make the bad guys highlight in a like easy to see color, like if you're having issues seeing them and stuff like that. And so that made the game for me, and that's probably one of the main reasons why I enjoyed it so much, is because I was able to tailor it to my specific needs, where I couldn't do that with the first one. And so it removed a lot of that stress for me. And again, you know, I'm one of those guys where just I get too into a game sometimes, it gets overwhelming. And so that was like the perfect balance of challenging but not being too much. And so that's what I really left about it.
What you just said reminded me of like a moment in time where I just was so frustrated at The Last of Us 1, again, because I'm playing on the hardest difficulty, like things are just like ramped up. So I'm in the like apartment complex or something, and I'm trying to get around, so I'm like tiptoeing around, going all slow, and I like bump into a bottle and it breaks, and a guy from like two floors above is like, what? I'm like, come on, like he's not gonna hear that two floors up. Like, I'm pretty sure that was like a complete like not thing that was supposed to happen, but having it happen was just like, because like people were always like, oh, it's so real, it's like they can only hear, and it's like, I had the opposite experience. It was just like, this is no good.
It's like Cloud trying to get out of Aerith's house without knocking stuff over with that stupid Buster
right.
sword.
Yep.
Yeah. She kept going, oh, what are you doing up? It's time to go to sleep.
Right. Go Let's back go to your to sleep. Room. Right.
I'll go back to your room. Exactly. well, maybe someday I'll try out The Last of Us. I've got it installed, so I guess I don't really have many excuses. the game that I've been playing is Tekken 8.
Nice.
And I have never played a Tekken game.
Really?
Except for the first one. I was at like a party when I was in the army. I was at a like a barracks party, and somebody had their door open, and they were playing Tekken 1 on the PlayStation, and I went in and I played a couple rounds, and I was like, okay, that's cool. And I never picked it up, and I never played any of the other Tekken games, and I don't know what possessed me to pick up this one. But I ended up picking it up, and I finished story mode this morning, although I skipped through all of the cutscenes because they are anime as hell, and I just couldn't. I was, like, totally not interested.
So, wait, why'd you skip them? I didn't
because
follow.
I just... Oh, it's just not interesting to me. Like, these guys screaming at each other, like, I will use this kind of fighting style. And, like, I was like, why are you guys saying, like, it's so weird. I thought you didn't use this fighting style. Well, now I don't hesitate. Sure, okay, whatever, skip. I just want to beat people up. I was worried that it was going to be too hard to enjoy because I haven't had any experience with the other ones. But they have, like, a baby's first Tekken controls in it. Where it basically kind of simplifies the controls, kind of like Street Fighter 6 did, where you have like you can hit the LB button whenever you want, and when you do, it brings up like little combos on the left hand side, and you're like, if you want to do an air combo, press Y three times. If you want to do your special attack, push X. If you want to do like your heat move, you press the right button. And that's like, it's all just simple inputs. And then if I hit the left bumper again, that goes away, and the four face buttons correspond to the four limbs of the fighters. So it's like your left hand, your right hand, right. your left leg, your right leg. And I was trying to force myself to use, you know, the real mode, but then I turned on the other mode and I hopped into ranked matches, and I was winning about half the matches that I was in, and it was really, really fun. I like that game a lot. It's cool. Has anybody played it?
So I want to play Tekken 8. I'm a huge Tekken fan, and I just want to quickly just give this little anecdote story because it was how I started like loving Tekken. So Tekken 1 and 2, I played and I liked, but I wasn't super huge into it. And Tekken 3, I was also just playing it just because it's a fighting game and I wanted to play it. I was at a local import shop in my city, and when I was there, There was a dude that was playing as king, and then he started doing his, like, you know, numerous throws, and one after the other, and seeing it keep on going, I thought it was like a literal, like, glitch, like how it almost like like he was like crack, crack, and he's just going around. I'm like, it keeps going, and I feel like that one really sold me on like King in Tekken 3 really sold me on Tekken 3 in general. I love Tekken 3 is still one of my favorite Tekkens.
Tekken 3 was the moment, though, right? Like, yeah, that was when everybody, because like it also had like Tekken Ball and Tekken, and it had like a beat 'em up kind of style.
Yeah,
so like everybody was into it, and then it just it really nailed the actual mechanics by that point.
Yeah,
was Eddie in 3 or was that Tekken Tag?
Eddie,
that was the other thing.
Eddie, that's the
yeah, the Capoeira.
Capoeira, yeah.
Yeah,
I believe I think he was
in 3. He's in Tekken 3.
Yeah.
So everything came together in Tekken 3 because you were talking about baby mode build, but like Eddie was the guy where if you knew nothing about the game, you could just mash on the buttons.
And very drunken fighter style, but capoeira, so he's just moving around, and it was very hard to play someone that's button mashing with against Eddie.
I'm cracking myself up for two reasons. Number one is you guys are talking like King is awesome in Tekken 3, and he was, like, moves-wise. But if you look at him now, it's the stupidest costume a character has ever had in a fighting game.
Oh, yeah.
He's wearing, like, sweatpants and Skechers, you
we're
know?
We're not friends anymore. No, there's no way. You're not going to trash King.
The other thing I'm laughing about is that, like, Bill, you know, 25 years ago, saw this game, like, that's great. I'll see you in 25 years. You know what I mean? Like, how did that happen?
I don't know. It just, it kind of, like, I saw some, I don't even know. I saw something, and I was watching it. I was like, oh, that looks cool. And then I was just sitting, and I was looking at my Xbox, and I was just opened up the store. And I was just kind of scrolling through the store because I was looking for something to play. And I was like, well, I mean, no, I don't need this. And so I closed it. And like 2 days later, I was like, yeah, I'm buying that. And I ended up picking it up. And it's really, really fun. And actually, the main reason that I ended up picking it up is because it's a good, what the hell is happening? Oh, okay.
That's King.
That's King.
No, look
yes.
at King and Tekken 3, though. That's,
yeah,
that's
okay. I just all looked right, it up. Right, it's right. So funny.
All right. So, for the King audio listeners, man. Rich just threw a picture of a tiger headed man or a leopard headed man up on the screen. It's a good game to sit down with my son, and we could sit next to each other and talk some smack and, you know, beat each other up. And that's another, like, Street Fighter VI was one of those. And, like, I've never really been a fighting game guy, except for Smash Brothers. So I feel like I'm, you know, I ended up picking up Street Fighter last year, and this year I picked up Tekken. And I'm really, really enjoying it. And I suck at it. But that's okay, because, you know, the ranked mode is good. It keeps putting me up against people who also suck at it. And so I win about half the matches, and that's
nice.
That's really all I wanted.
So really quickly, this is an actual factual story that has happened. I was so into Tekken 3, but I was always playing with a PlayStation controller that I never played on an arcade stick with the four buttons. So it always was like at a disadvantage whenever I played an arcade. I actually played Tekken 3 at an arcade, and it was in Las Vegas, and however many years ago this was, like mid-90s, I'm in Las Vegas playing an arcade, playing Tekken 3. This Korean girl comes up to me, she plays me. I barely beat her. And I was like, okay, well, that was whatever. And I'm going back in the thing. Then her boyfriend comes and plays me and barely beats me. And then they, like, looked at me, like, hard, like, yeah, what? And I was like, what the hell just happened? I just walked away. And I was like, what the hell? Did he just protect her honor or something? He's playing video games. I didn't think anything of it. But they were like, it was a weird, weird situation.
I would really like the ability to communicate with the person that I'm playing against, because I played with, I don't know who, I had them down to no health, and they came back. I was full health. They came back and they wrecked me, right? And I wanted to just send them a, you know, GG. And I wish that the game had some way for me to just send them a message when I was done. Cause I was like, that was really cool. Visually, this game is stunning. There's, like, I think my favorite level, you are on this big rock area, and in the background you can see like giant waves going by, and there's tornadoes in the background, and it is just, it is gorgeous. It's an absolutely gorgeous game, and I'm just having a blast with it. But I'll end up keep playing it. I finished the story mode. There's a weird mode in the middle of the story mode. It turns into like a 3D brawler, like, oh, where you've got like waves of enemies coming at you. And I was like, what the hell is this? Is that a staple for the series, or was that something new?
They always had different types of mini games of various sorts in Tekken. I want to say that a brawler sounds very familiar to me.
Yeah, they had a brawler in Tekken 3.
Yeah.
I don't think they kept up with that, right? Like, they this is probably the first time since PS1, PS2 days that they have one of those modes.
You know, it's at, like, the pitch meeting. Like, they go up to the whiteboard, and you see Tekken 3 there, and then the guy's like, and he just finishes the threes and just connects them to an eight. Like, and everyone just starts clapping. Like,
I will say that I didn't like the brawler mode. I found it to be irritating, but I also didn't like a lot of the other stuff. But the moment-to-moment combat of just getting in and doing a ranked match with somebody, thumbs up from me. All right, let's move on back to the news. And
real quick, I just found the headline that says Tekken 8 is the sequel to Tekken 3 we've always needed. So Carrie nice. Nailed it. Yeah,
nice. I mean, I haven't played it, but it's sounding more and more just like it, because I love 3. I played the hell out of 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a really good game. I'm really enjoying it. And now I don't have to play Tekken 3. I can just play Tekken 8. And
there you go.
It has crossplay, so if you guys end up picking it up on whatever platform, we can fight each other, and everybody can beat the hell out of me. As I, you know, I've been using some dude with a gun and a knife, and I like him a lot, but I don't know his name or anybody's name, because there's just so many characters in this game. And I don't feel like I have to unlock anybody either. Like, I haven't unlocked a single character. I think I just have the whole roster.
Nice.
From the That's beginning, awesome. Which is very strange to me. All right, let's move on. And you know what? Jimmy, PS Vita 2, go.
Okay, I did a whole video on this already.
I know.
It was really, really
I watched
exciting
it. It was a
news.
Good video.
Quick history. My beginnings of games video / writing was running a Vita website, basically, like, back in college. I was the big Vita guy. I was ride or die for that thing. I had, like, pretty much, I probably had about 60% of the library before they stopped doing physicals and then went all digital, and there was like 15 million Ys games coming out and whatever, and that's when I bounced off. But like, I was a big Vita guy, loved everything from like Golden Abyss all the way down to like Killzone Mercenaries. So when I saw this news from what's his name, Moore's Law is Dead, I was very excited, because I was extremely disappointed when I saw those headlines last year where it was like, Sony's making a new handheld, and then you click on it and it's like, it'll stream from your PS5. I was like, no. So what they're doing is basically, if this is true, which it might be, might not be, the philosophy here is like building something that'll come out towards the tail end of the PS5 generation and be geared towards PS5 and PS4 games. To run them downclocked, obviously. It'll have the DualSense features, which I think is great. I just want Sony to re-enter the hardware game, because I feel like now is about the time where they could actually nail it, because instead of making their developers split off and make, you know, handheld style games out of their biggest IP, they could just make a handheld that'll run the games their developers are already working on, which is what Nintendo's done, which is kind of what Valve's got going on with the Steam Deck. I'm very excited about this even being a possibility, because if they can manage to avoid making it use a proprietary memory card that's expensive as hell, and like, you know, just all the mistakes that they make with their handhelds, I think they could finally nail it, because they have so much market share at this point, and people are obviously interested in playing PlayStation games on a handheld, right? With the Portal selling so well. So
yeah,
I think this could be really cool.
I want to stay away from whether or not this is true or not. Just assume it's true and talk about like what is it that we want from this. I feel like, because I made a video about it too, I feel like the reason that Sony would do this, the reason it makes sense, is because obviously it doesn't take discs. So that pushes digital sales, because if I'm
100%.
Sitting down and making a decision about whether or not I'm going to buy, you know, the next Spider-Man game or the next Horizon Zero, whatever, you know, if I'm making a decision on a physical copy or a digital copy, Sony benefits more from me buying a digital copy. But if I buy that digital copy, I have the ability to play it on both of those systems. Whereas if I buy the physical copy, I'm locked out of the digital system. So yeah. I feel like that's a good reason why they would do this.
It was whether so or not great.
They end up doing it is another thing. What'd you say?
During PS3 generation, it was awesome because they were still like having more people buy games physically. So a lot of the first party games, you would get the PS3 disc, and then it would come with a digital code that unlocked the Vita version and the PS3 version. So for me in college, like I could buy a game like PlayStation All-Stars, and then when I was done with it, I didn't have to feel guilty trading in the disc because I still had that digital copy. But you're right, there's no way they'll do that now because they could encourage both digital sales and PS Plus Extra subscriptions, because you could just download the games off that.
I tried pitching that to some indie developers where if you bought a Switch game, it would have a Steam code in it, so you can get the PC version as well. And they're like, no way. Like, all right, well, I thought it was good.
I always thought it would be cool if Amiibos were the game. Like you could buy an Amiibo. And
yeah,
you would
sweet.
Tap it and it would unlock and then erase like whatever was on it. So then you would have you could have like this little statue, and you wouldn't have to carry like a bag with 400 cartridges.
I actually really with you. Like the Amiibos. I'm a big fan of Amiibos.
I think they're cool look. I like them for their for the characters that I care about.
Yeah, exactly.
But there were a lot of these Toys to Life things that were just really dumb.
Yeah, but the Amiibo quality of the little statuettes, they're really nice. Like, just to, like, appreciate them. Like, I'll be walking by, and they're on my shelf and stuff, and I'll just, like, look at them, like, man, that's really well done. You just, like, look at the craftsmanship of it, and it's, they're really nice. I really appreciate them.
That's cool.
Rich, what do you think of the Vita 2?
I think the weird thing for me is that it's coming late in the PS5 cycle, right? I mean, like, that just probably is what makes sense at this point, but like for us to potentially be on the cusp by the time this releases, be on the cusp of the PS6, I feel will sort of undercut the advantage that Sony has in coming out with their own handheld, which is day and date releases for their new games, right? Playing those in handheld. Because if I'm just going to play my back catalog of PS5 and PS4 games outside of Bloodborne, me personally, I'd rather just do that on the PC handheld. So that's my concern, or like that's the point that makes this weird to me, especially this report, the way it's framed makes this weird to me. It may just be that this is what they're testing for now, but I think coming out with this at PS6 alongside PS6 and it is a handheld version of PS6, I think makes a lot more sense to me.
That'd be perfect. And also, we've seen all those rumors where they're like with Helldivers 2, you have to sign in allegedly with your PlayStation account because it's going to save transfer back and forth. And then from all those investor talks and everything lately, they've been making it sound like they're going to push that more, where you have to log in with your PSN and then your save will transfer back and forth. Like, if that's the case, I mean, I'm always ride or die Steam Deck at that point. Like, I will buy a PS5 copy and a PC copy just so I can take the PC version on the go and have all my stuff transferred. That's where I'd really like to get with PlayStation stuff, because having the two copies of the game is cool, but like having two copies and my stuff transfers so I don't have to replay God of War 2018 when it comes out, or The Last of Us Part 1, like that's the ideal situation. Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Flip real quick. Russ, you wanted to talk about the Flip.
Yeah, so I just got an email yesterday from INEO. They're sending me one. They said unfortunately it's the black one, which means that it's going to be smudgy, because that's always my complaint about all the black INEO handhelds. It's like it's smudgy, you know. And so they try to send me the white ones now.
The white ones.
Yeah.
The
fact that they put that in there, I'm like, oh, you actually watch my videos. That's cool. But I'm interested about this one. Like for one, you know, it's got the two screen setup, and the second screen is smaller and it's lower res. I think it's like 480p or something like that. But You know, a lot of people are immediately thinking, oh, 3DS, right? And the Citra emulator on Windows does have the ability to have two windows, so you can just kind of resize them so they fit perfectly within there, make them both full screen, and it should work fine. And then also the Wii U emulator does the same thing. It has Simu has the ability to have two screens as well. Not a lot of games take advantage of that, but like Wind Waker HD does. Like you can see the menu while you're playing the game. And so things like that will be pretty cool. There is no DS emulator that does a two-window setup. You have to split one window across the two. It's probably still going to be doable, considering this is probably just going to treat it like two separate windows, you know, like you would have two monitors set up. And so you can definitely do that. It's just going to take some finagling to do. We'll see. I've gotten a lot more interest in this one when I tweeted about it as opposed to most any other iNeo device. And so that's a good sign. I think this is exactly, we've talked about it before. I'm getting out of focus again. I don't know what's up with my focus. Hello. I think it wants to see Daytona, USA.
Yeah, that's it.
Let's go away.
Right. So I think that this is exactly what we've talked about before. iNeo needs to innovate, like put out something that's not just a different Steam Deck that's more expensive. And so they're doing that. That's great. So
these sticks look terrible to me.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be Switch style sticks.
Can you put it up on the screen?
I am trying right now. So they're recessed, like really deep recesses. And I'm like,
the GPD Win is the same way, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is that? Do you have that?
I don't like it.
I'm not a fan, but Carrie, are you a fan of the recessed analogs?
I am. Yeah. Big fan of them.
Yeah. Yeah. They're fine. When the GPD Win Max, when I had that before the Steam Deck, I got used to it. But now that I have like full-fledged controllers, going back to this, it feels like a step backwards to me. But also, I don't know how you do clamshell, like real clamshell, without doing that. Yeah. So
I love the top screen, but the little the bottom screen looks a little small.
The reality is,
people are like, oh, we could watch YouTube videos while playing a game. Yeah. You know, things like that.
Like the Subway Surfers down there.
Like iNeo 2 is like probably the best analog sticks that I've used. Just because those are full fat analog sticks. And those are fantastic, but the height of them is just fantastically large, much like how the Steam Deck analog sticks are. And if you want like really good analog sticks, you need a lot of height. So if you're doing a clamshell design, you're really limited with how much height you can actually get in there. So you have
much
20 millimeters. Having said that, the ones that are on the GPD Win Max or the GPD Win Mini, for the sacrifices inside of that space, I still love them.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Yeah, the way I describe them is that they are flicky. Like, it doesn't feel like a full range of motion. You just kind of flick them to get to where you need to. And you get used to it. But it's not ideal for me. And it's always a complaint that I have when I make these reviews. So I'm sure it's going to be the same there.
There's some controllers out there that have, like, the sticks that attach magnetically. Where, like, you kind of put them down and they snap on. And
that's a good idea.
I would love it if they would have the recesses, but then have a full tall stick with a good deep throw that I could just open it up and go, and then be off to the races with it being way more comfortable. And then when
DJI controller does that for the drone.
I think that would be cool.
That up in one of my reviews. I think it was the GPD Win Mini. It's like, you know, find a slot where they'll magnetically go in on the side, and then you can pull them out and then put them on. You know, that'd be awesome.
I mean, people would lose them, and then they could charge you for replacements.
That's like the three modules on the DualSense Edge, like that they charge $20 for. It's like, oh yeah, if our hardware ever fails, you can just pay more to fix it. It's like great solution. That's the most Sony solution of all time.
Right.
One thing I'm worried about with the Flip DS, and you know, it's going to be the main thing I'm testing for, is with that like DS or rather 3DS Wii U emulation is, well, specifically 3DS, right? Like stuff like Pacross, right? Like I'm able to hold the 3DS in one hand and, you know, move my pointer with the other hand. And so like, is the Flip DS going to be comfortable to hold with one hand in that way? Because it's, you know, it's like, it's got to be hundreds of grams heavier than a 3DS.
Right.
So that's going to be interesting for me.
If you're playing a 3DS, if you want to play 3DS games, I just say get a 3DS. Like, they're very easy to
or just a Quest 3.
If that's what you want to do, yeah, I would love that too. They're very easy to put that custom software on, and yeah, then you're done. And it has 3D. Like this doesn't have 3D, right?
No.
And you're right. There's still no better way to play Pacross specifically than on the 3DS, right? Like, I've tried on everything. There's nothing better than just playing it on the original hardware.
You know, they were still using resistive screens, so resistive screens with the stylus just are way different than capacitive screens. Mm-hmm. So just the feelings is way different.
I'm still waiting for Russ to put out his video of the 3DS on the Meta Quest 3. That looks
amazing.
I think
I'm going to do a dedicated like emulation video on the Quest. I was going to do like full tutorials, but I think I'm just going to do here's how to emulate NES and PSP and all that kind of stuff, because there are some proprietary like apps that work with the Quest, like PSP one, for example. You know, another thing is that I have a Surface 2 Duo. It's like their phone that's like a flip screen or whatever. That thing is amazing for 3DS. And I bought one for like $600. I was going to make a video on it, and then I realized like they're just not that Daytona thing's happening.
Daytona.
So I realized that they're not making them anymore, and they're now super expensive. They're like $900 if you want to get one. And I cannot tell people, hey, here's a $900 3DS. You're going to love it. Like, it just it doesn't make any sense to me. And so I still have the thing, and it's amazing. I needed to make a video about it. But, yeah, it's just, man, this autofocus kill me.
Well, now they have the JSOX, right? Like the FlipGo. Like those seem – I don't have it, so full disclosure. But that seems interesting for something like that, for 3DS emulation. So that could be an option that's not $900.
Yeah, the DeckMate people have made a new phone adapter now, and so it can go underneath your screen, so you can put a phone there, have it with your Steam Deck, and then you can wirelessly have that attached as your second monitor with 3DS. And so you could do something like that as well.
How is 3DS performance on the Steam Deck? That's like the one console I haven't tried to emulate.
It's pretty good. I mean, the Citra emulator can't play every game, like Luigi's Mansion, Dark Moon, or whatever. Just doesn't work for most of these emulators, you know, or for most of the builds of that emulator. And so... But overall, yeah, it's fine. You can get usually a 2x resolution in most 3DS games.
I really enjoyed playing. What's the sequel to A Link to the Past? A Link Between Worlds.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed playing that. I put it on my Steam Deck, and I used the glasses.
X-Reels.
The X-Reel glasses, and I used those as my second monitor, and it was actually in 3D. So I had a giant 3D screen, and then I had my Steam Deck had like the bottom screen. That was a really cool experience, and it's something that, like, the only other really cool way to do that would be if for Russ to make his video about the Quest 3.
There's a lot of people
or we could spend $3,500 on Apple whatever
now. Right,
there's a lot of people saying that the Super Switch is going to have that feature,
3D
X-Reel
glasses.
X-Reels, for your main display. Gotcha. Yeah, so you'd have the DS-like type of functionality, and you could fall back to Switch on the main handheld. But
it's just cool. All I could think of is the Splatoon, like the in order to do the communication with your phone, they had that stupid squid-shaped thing that you would hook up your headset to that you could talk. Like, I imagine if Nintendo put out a pair of glasses, they would be like, It's a Super Mario hat, and like little glasses pop down over the top so that everybody will look like a moron.
But you know, like Nintendo would do those like Nintendo things. They're like, you know, look to your right. And because they'd be spatial glasses, you can like look to your right and the screen would stay over there. And you're like, oh, it's right there. And then they would just do something.
And they would say, how about you take a break?
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. So I know, Jimmy, you have to go in like 10 minutes. So we got to go fast. PlayStation had their big State of Play. What was the stuff that jumped out to you as, holy cow, that looks awesome?
Death Stranding 2. I don't know why I wasn't excited about it. For some reason, I just thought it didn't need a sequel. And then now that I see what he's doing with it, I'm like, okay, you've justified this. And just Troy Baker coming back as Higgs is just so cool. Silent Hill 2 just cracks me up because, like, Silent Hill, the fan base is like one of the biggest fan bases for games they've obviously, like, very obviously never played. Because the biggest hate that I saw for the Silent Hill 2 trailer was like, why is there combat? There's no combat in Silent Hill 2. And I'm like, I play that game annually. That game is one of the most combat heavy games of all time. And like, the combat doesn't look great, I will say, in a lot of the graphical performance. Just like, it doesn't look awesome. It's very Bloober Team, but like, it looked better than Silent Hill 2 because the bar is on the floor when you're talking about that game. Like, that is in the running for the worst combat of all time, the original. And it was a good showing. It just sucked that everything leaked from it, so it just kind of deflated it for me a little bit. But if you wanted to pack a lot of games into 40 minutes, I don't think they could have done much better. You know, it's like, I'm calling into question a little bit their end-of-the-year release strategy because we don't know anything after, like, the first half of 2024 for Sony, but... You know, if they have an off year, so be it. There's a lot of stuff to play out there. I'm still catching up on things from 2023, and I can find things to play in the meantime. But I think it was a good State of Play. I'm more interested in showcases from them, obviously, because that's where they really kind of blow the doors off, and one of those should be coming up soon.
Russ, did anything jump out at you as cool from that?
I'm always waiting for Judas. Like, I've been waiting forever for that game. And so looking forward to that. I didn't watch the trailer. I just saw, oh, yeah, there's an update, so it's still coming. Thank goodness. That was it. And so that's all I have going for it with that. It's just that I don't want to be spoiled or anything, but I'm very much so looking forward to that. Just because, BioShock. You know, BioShock.
Yeah. So,
surprise.
That's a good
surprise.
Thing. Good. Yeah, I know. what about you, Rich? Anything jump out at you from the State of Play?
Yeah, absolutely. Death Stranding 2. And I didn't get to watch it, like, you know, as it came out. So I kind of just had the trailers trickle by throughout the week. But like, Death Stranding 2 is like Kojima, like, back on his bullshit, right? Mm-hmm. Like he...
Like swords.
Right. Like lightning swords shooting, lightning shooting out of the guitar. Like, what is going on? And it's just the best. And, you know, like, Death Stranding... It started off a little lukewarm, I think, in terms of reception. Like the critical reception was really good, but I felt like the audience didn't pick up to it like they did with the Metal Gear Solid games. And I feel like Death Stranding 2 is going to bring all of those Metal Gear Solid folks back to Kojima.
I really like the hands, the lady who had like the hands around her neck that would like wipe things off her face or give a thumbs up or wave, or, you know, that was weird and cool.
That was
I'm not a Kojima guy. I just don't I don't care, but that
you
was
gotta
cool
play
looking.
Metal Gear, you'll
that design. Jimmy, have you played Metal Gear Rising?
Yes, I love Metal Gear Rising.
I was gonna say that design, the hands, like, that's from Metal Gear Rising. So like,
it's a little bit of an evolution on the weird mechs in Metal Gear Solid 4 that had human legs. Oh, yeah. They're super weird. That made weird cow noises.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And you guys are telling me to play this game.
Yes. Dude, I'm like not an anime guy at all, like. And I love it. It pulls from so many great movies, like Die Hard with a Vengeance and Escape from New York. It's like, it's really hard not to like it, even if you're not into the more like crazy aspects of it.
Yeah. If you don't try anything else, maybe try Metal Gear Rising because it's action. Yeah. So like, it's hard not to like.
I have Metal Gear Solid on my Miu Mini Plus waiting for me. So
there you go. That's another one. You'll be fine. Yeah.
Carrie, anything jump out at you from the PlayStation thing? You're not a PlayStation guy.
Yeah, two things. So the PSVR game that they had, that Dungeons and Dragons type of game that was kind of like Deep Down-ish.
Starts with a D. Deimos?
I forget the name of it. It just looked... I saw it briefly and I was like, oh, that VR game looks kind of cool. And it's probably only ever going to come out on PSVR 2. So it's like the only actual exclusives they'll have. So I guess... that's something I'm looking forward to. Everything else is like, you know, it's all coming to PC. And it's weird that, like, Sony is, like, very careful with their messaging. And it's like, we have to talk about our PC games that are coming out. What's one that's coming out? There's about seven. Let's mention Until Dawn.
Like, so weird.
All right. And we're going to mention the seven other ones? No. Well, don't do that.
Why the caveat? Why even, like... for you specifically, like, what does that mean to you that it's coming to PC? Because I mean, all the Xbox games come to PC, right? So,
right.
Is that, are you, it sounds like you're saying that's a bad thing, but I assume you don't actually feel that way.
No, I want them to come out with PC. I just want them to, because they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. They're trying not to upset their fan base, but also trying to come out with it. And it's just like, guys, you're doing it. All of these games are coming out. Just let us know. Because, you know, like, just kind of having it in the air, also not for nothing, when they don't do this, and if sales aren't very good, and you didn't really talk about it, who's to blame other than yourself? So
yeah, their marketing is terrible on that.
Yeah, so it's like, it's kind of the same thing of, like, the Xperia Play, right? The Xperia Play should have been labeled the PlayStation phone. They didn't label it the PlayStation phone because all the Sony cabal inside were like, no, we don't want this to be the PlayStation phone. They didn't have any marketing for it. They torpedoed the goddamn thing. It went away and died. There was no Xperia Play 2 because they wanted it to die. So I don't know. I almost get a feeling like there is this force that are making PC ports of PlayStation games. And then at the same time, they don't want to also talk about it. So it's, I don't know. I've seen it happen before. And who knows?
Those of you who are playing the game at home, I think that counts as Carrie mentioning a gaming phone, so you can take a drink. So Metroid Awakening VR, I think, looks really cool.
Yeah.
But I've learned from trying Resident Evil 7 VR and Resident Evil 8 VR and Resident Evil 4 VR that it's too freaking scary. And so I'm not going to play them. Like,
it is scary.
I'll load it up. I'll walk 15 feet. I'll be like, yeah, this is too scary, and I'll take it off.
Yeah, once you get, like, that type of stuff is, like, very intense. Like, Amnesia was, like, my breaking point for me. Like, when you design a game so well that you have to, like, look into a wall so that you don't go crazy in the game, like, as a game mechanic, you are forced to, like, hide into, like, a little side thing and hope the thing that's coming behind you doesn't, like, grab you. That is that's a really... a great game mechanic to amplify anxiety.
I did see one game. I don't know what it's called. It's on PSVR 2, where it watches your eyes, and if you blink, then the monsters move.
Oh, so it's like, oh, yeah, interesting. Yeah, so it's like,
so,
the,
like, Doctor Who,
right? Yeah, the Doctor Who episode where they get the angels, yeah, to look at each other, and then they just box them.
Yeah,
but that's a frightening concept. To, like, blink your eyes, yeah, and see, because they move so outrageously fast that it's, mm-hmm, like, you're like, oh no, and blink, just blink one eye at a time.
So I guess then the last thing that we would talk about, that Russ, you wanted to talk about the B-Link contest to win some money.
I gotta head out. I gotta go see a movie. So I gotta go.
What movie?
Enjoy. Okay. Argyle. I heard it's mediocre, nice, but we just wanted to go see about a movie. It.
Enjoy, man.
Have fun, man.
All right. See you guys. Yep,
see you later. Man.
See ya.
Bye.
All right. So, Russ, you wanted to talk about this B-Link contest.
Yeah. So, B-Link is a mini PC manufacturer. They're one of my favorites between them and, like, Minis Forum usually. So, they sent me an email last night, and they've got this website where basically they are looking to design a new mini PC with a desktop GPU, and they want to try to figure out some sort of solution to this. And so, I don't know, maybe they just ran out of ideas, but they're like, how about we ask people to come up with the ideas and designs and stuff, and if we use your design, we'll pay you $10,000, basically. And so I thought it was just a really kind of apropos thing for our podcast, because we're always talking about how these guys should be making things better. You know what I mean? Like, here's our opportunity. And Carrie has been spending hours already making a design. So that's kind of one of the things I wanted to bring up, is just kind of, it's neat. And I'm going to post it on Twitter later on today. But basically, I like this idea. You know, like they're saying, hey, we'll actually listen to you as opposed to assuming what you want. Let me hear what you have to say, and we're going to reward you for it. Because it's not just the $10,000 thing. If you come up with other ideas that they also use, maybe not the exact full thing, they'll give you like a coupon and all this other kind of stuff, prizes and whatnot. So
that's,
I like
really
that they're
neat.
Doing that.
Makes me think of the Homer Simpson car. So if for,
yeah, cool. They'll get some bad ideas.
Rich,
yeah.
You don't know what about the Homer Simpson car?
Really?
Oh, no. So you should just Google Homer Simpson car. It's great. It's from an episode of The Simpsons, and I think it will explain exactly what I mean.
I'm seeing pictures now. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
So I think we're going to see some really strange designs, but you know what? Maybe somebody will come up with something cool.
Yeah, it might just spark something in the engineer and be like, oh, that's a direction I hadn't thought of, and this is what I needed in order to make the perfect thing or whatever. I would love, if like Ambernick or somebody did this as well, like, because I got some ideas, you know, but yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, man, I think we'll also see things that are... Oh, I'm sorry. What'd you say, Rich?
I just said it would be sick if Carrie wins. That would be amazing. And we would have a special episode just for that.
Yeah, I told Carrie, well, I'll bet you they'll have like votes or something.
Yeah.
Like once they select their nominees. So, you know, we can try and push people to vote for Carrie.
It would be called the Mean Link Fox. I mean, my thing is like a very simple design. It's just hide the wires, expose the PCIe slot, have the NUC behind it. It's not really like a bunch there. It's just like I needed to visualize as much as I could. So I just threw together something in Blender in like an hour or two. And just like, there we go. There it is. Thankfully, there's like an online repository of people that have already made like GPUs. So it's like, download that in Blender, download that in Blender. Push. I got to make goddamn splines. All right, here are some wires. No more. Clip it into the box. I'm not doing anything else.
I'm less impressed now. I didn't realize that you just were downloading those assets. I was like, wow, he made a GPU.
No way I made that GPU. No, yeah. That GPU looks too good to be done in an hour.
It looks really good.
There were a lot of USB-C or USB-A ports on the back of your design, Carrie. Like an inordinate amount.
That's that's just like a motherboard back. So I got a motherboard. I got a PCI slot. I got a GPU. I was like, delete, 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 delete. Push this together. Put in boxes here. There we go. Render. There we go. That's an idea.
Nice.
So yeah, it was just super fast, and there's an online repository where you can just grab that stuff. So didn't spend all that much time with it. It's just messing around with Blender a bit.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 USB-A ports on the back of that.
Again,
I was like, that's a lot of connectivity.
A lot of this stuff is just like, you should be like, not really paying attention to like the numbers of things or whatever. They're just conceptual ideas of like, for me, I don't even want the ports to be on the side where the GPU is. I'd want them to be on the back, but I wasn't going to rotate it. I wasn't going to do other crap. I was just like, slap, slap, slap. Here it is. There it goes. Think about it. I don't care if I win the $10,000. I just would rather them make the design and, you know, just make it something that looks elegant. Something that has really good cable management, has the power supply built in, and hides the power supply within the same NUC design. So you have the power supply on one side, the NUC on the other, and they're just sitting together. It's not like it's terribly difficult.
Yeah.
So it's just a simple design that I think, once you've seen like the one doc, it actually looks super really nice. Like as like a piece that you could have on your desk as a functional kind of decoration, a GPU that's sitting on your desk with just the clean cables, it actually looks like very cool. I really like the design look of it.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, the Hargan family killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, the Hargan family killings, starting May 8th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Finally, sunscreen worthy of your skin. Sol de Janeiro's new Rio Radiance SPF 50 collection, where glowing hydration meets sun protection in a beachy and nostalgic set. Confidently embrace your glow with lightweight 100% mineral SPF body lotion, refreshing SPF body spray, and shimmering SPF body oil. Receive 10% off on your first order on soldejaneiro.com, plus free shipping with the code Spotify10.
Well, speaking of compact systems, Russ, you put out a video this morning about what was the computer?
It's called the G22CH. It's an Asus ROG PC. It's like a small form factor. I think it's 10 liter PC, and I've had it for months. So essentially what happened is after I did my 6 months later ROG Ally review, they sent me an email like, hey, we really like that video. We also see you do mini PCs. We don't have any right now, but you want a small PC? And I was like, oh, I could try this out. It's like a new space. And so they sent it over to me, and then I spent 2 months playing around with it. And I'm like, how am I supposed to make a video about this? It's literally just a PC. You know what I mean? And so I found my angle, and it was just kind of like, this is a middle ground one where it's like, you don't want to have a mini PC and all the compromises when it comes to performance. And you also don't want to Tetris in a small PC in a small form factor case. Right. So here's, if you want to pay a premium, here's how someone will do it for you. There's all sorts of companies that'll do this as well, but it just made sense to use Asus just because they have such an established relationship with retailers. Like, you can go and price gouge and look between Amazon and Best Buy and find the deals, you know. And these often will go on sale. And so I thought, this is interesting. And it was crazy. It's just such. I've never really reviewed a powerful PC like that before. And so I was really way out of my element, because I'm just I'm just turning all the settings up to the highest they'll go, and it's playing great. There's your video, right? It's a hard thing to kind of talk about, you know, but I thought I found a couple good angles to kind of talk about. And that's why I was doing VRs, because I was like, well, this thing is so powerful, it can also do VR. So let's
do
that.
Right? You know, going along those same lines, I think that's what's compelling about what B-Link is trying to do here. Because you take a look at the 7840U, the 8840U, even Intel stuff. Intel, if they put a big heatsink on it, it can go up to 100 watts. And if it's connected to power, you don't care about battery life. It's going to be a fantastic CPU.
Right.
So if you have a fantastic CPU and you can put in a desktop GPU, you have a full desktop solution that can play a bunch. And yeah, maybe it's not going to be as fast as the highest end gaming PC, but you can swap out that GPU, and that CPU is going to last you for years. The 155H is a monster. If you can cool it, hey, more power to you. That is a worthwhile thing. So if they can sell a $700 thing, $800 thing where you can slot in your own GPU, I think that's super appealing. And that goes along the same lines of what you're saying. It's like, you know, there's all those checkboxes of what people find to be their ideal, because they're trying to fit it into their space, right? So sometimes people want that Tetris design. They want something that is literally a cereal box that has a GPU and everything else. So I don't know. I always love how there's so much to choose from, and it's never been better, really. It's a really great time.
Yeah. That's one of my big takeaways from the video, was that the 7840U, or 7840HS is what I was testing as a comparison, is a really good CPU, just from CPU performance. Yeah. So I was doing Cinebench between this $2,000 Asus PC that I was reviewing and then the $700 Minis Forum that I was using. And the performance difference between the two was the Minis Forum one was 83% of the way there, basically, but for a third of the price. Mm-hmm. And so that CPU is really good. You just need some sort of graphics card with it.
Yeah.
I keep waiting for Valve to put out a console. You know what it would be? It would just be a mini PC with the Valve, with a Steam logo on it, and I would buy that thing in a second.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rich, what videos you got coming up, or what did you just drop?
So OneXplayer X1, that great name. That's going to be the next review that should be dropping hopefully tomorrow, but maybe Tuesday. And then I still have the two reviews that have been in for a while, but they are pretty much done now. So they should be coming in this week as well.
Awesome. Carrie, what do you got coming up?
So the last video I did was I talked about the PlayStation handheld as well. And the only video that I have working on right now is the Retroid Pocket 4 Pro.
Oh, nice.
I forgot to say, I finally got mine.
Yeah, the analog sticks on it are interesting. I'm a big, you know, I hesitate, because the opening for my video may come off as negative, but it's like, I just want to be like, would you believe that the company that made this and show the Retroid Pocket 2 made this? It's just
right,
leaps apart of like, yeah. If you told me, you know, 3 years ago that this company would be making this, I wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's amazing.
I always like when people start figuring things out and getting it right after getting it wrong in the past.
Yeah, they're banging on all cylinders. They're the same company, right? Like Retroid Pocket and AYN.
They deny it, but yeah. I mean, their affiliate payments come within 5 minutes of each other. Well, so
also, like, the Android builds are made by the same dude between both of them. So it's like that same guy. It's like, unless they're just like, he's a contractor. I don't think so. he's working on both of them. But you can, they're both of them, they're like banging on all cylinders now. So you have like the Odin series, which is like their top tier, and the Retroid series.
Mm-hmm.
I actually love the direction that they've taken, because the Retroid series has the synchronous type of analog sticks, like if people like a DualShock more. And then the Odin is more of an Xbox layout, so you have the asynchronous layout.
Oh, there goes one.
It was a long episode, Rich. Yeah. Nobody's judging you. For the audio listeners, one of Rich's lights just ran out of battery.
Just full danger right now. It's like,
lower the intensity, so
just
I'm not
a second
in hell.
Ago, Carrie said something that made Rich really, really mad, and his room just turned red.
I really like what AYN and Retroid do. They're probably my favorite Android handheld makers at this point. I think the only thing that was weird for me was like when I got the Retroid Pocket 4 Pro, is the same thing that happened to you, Russ. You had it early before the update came out, so my device started up and the screen was all yellowish, and then it booted in and then it fixed itself, and I was like, huh.
That'll happen every time you boot it now, actually, because it's a software fix. Yeah,
so it's off-putting at first, because I feel like I have to, like, my eyes adjusted or something. So I just don't look at it when I turn it on anymore. I just like look away. I'm a big fan of what they've done. They should make a gaming phone.
Drink again.
We somehow made it through the PlayStation handheld segment, and there was no mention of an Xbox handheld. So
I thought I knew it. I thought it was coming. Like if you had bet me money, I was gonna like. He is going to talk about the Series S and all that stuff, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about, go watch the Fox's channel over at youtube.com/thefox, THEPHAWX. Hopefully I spelled that right in my head, because I had to think about it. Just make sure you guys check out his stuff. He's got a really good video all about the Xbox Series S and how it could be a handheld, and it's 9 months old. And it holds up, so make sure you guys check it out.
You can actually watch any video since then. Every video he makes, he mentions it. So,
we're all being mean to you, Carrie. I'm sorry.
I'm just pointing to my receipts. That's all. Once it happens, I'll be vindicated. For what it's worth, when the Steam Deck came out, I was already vindicated. As long as I just keep on getting vindicated, it's fine.
That's fair. Fair. I still think you're wrong about a gaming phone. I don't want one, but you know what? I still want one for you.
that's fair. That's fair. I mean, it's going to have those recessed analog sticks. It has to, because how would you design it otherwise? So there's going to be compromises, but I'm willing to live with them.
All right. Well, I think that's... Oh, did we hit everybody's videos?
Just not...
I think so.
Yeah, we just talked about what I made, but I don't have anything in the hopper. I did a swap, like a button swap on my Odin 2, so I might do a video about that. And just because it's nice. It looks really nice, like very 90s looking now with the white buttons. So.
I like the white buttons.
I don't know, we'll see. Yeah.
All right, well, you guys could have been anywhere, but you decided to sit down for an hour and 34 minutes with us, and we appreciate it. I hope you guys have a great week, and we'll see you on the next one. Stay right, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
See you.